This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7.05 in the morning, Monday the 23rd of September. And on Friday, Asian stocks closed mostly higher on the back of stimulus measures by central banks. Now, in addition to the US Fed and the ECB, China also cut a key lending rate for the second straight month last week.
Yeah, so we saw Nikkei up 0.2%, Shanghai Composite up 0.2%, Sensex up 5.3%. This was in response to major corporate tax cuts by the Indian government. SDI was unchanged. KLCI was up 0.1%. The only one down was Hang Seng by 0.1%.
Meanwhile, the tier-over stimulus was short-lived from the US markets because all three indices closed lower on Friday, following signals that the US-China trade talks were not progressing. The Dow closed 0.6% down, S&P also similarly 0.5% down, and NASDAQ down 0.8%.
So on Friday, a Chinese trade delegation also cancelled planned visits to farms in the U.S. heartland, and President Donald Trump also downplayed the effect of prolonged trade tensions on his re-election campaign. So for some thoughts this morning on how to navigate global markets in light of these trade headwinds, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Market Strategist with Jevons Global in Sydney. Thank you very much for joining us, Kingsley. So with no end in sight to U.S.-China trade tensions following more speed bumps last week, what is the ideal asset allocation to take advantage of this market volatility?
Well, I think because it's just so uncertain, we favour what's called a barbell allocation. And what that means is that you have some combination of cyclical or risky assets that will do well if everything turns out well. And then you also have some defensive assets that will do well if things were to deteriorate. And then obviously you can adjust the balance between those as you form a judgment on what's likely to happen next. Now, in our view, you know, the appropriate composition for the defensive basket would be things like telcos, which are relatively cheap around the world, telecommunications companies, utilities and certain other stocks like water stocks and so on. And in the risky assets, we actually favor commodities plays and some energy, of course, because of what's going on with heightened risk of conflict in the Middle East.
And oil prices retreated last week following Saudi's Aramco's announcement that oil supplies are expected to resume to normal levels before the end of the month. So, however, with escalated tensions coming from the U.S. deployment of troops to Saudi Arabia and talks of retaliation from the Saudis, do you see prices staying elevated in the near term?
Yeah, I think there will be something of a risk premium coming to oil because of that uncertainty. The situation, of course, is pretty fluid, and it is therefore very uncertain. In our view, the market seems a little bit complacent at this stage. I mean, there's a view in some quarters that oil does not really matter anymore, perhaps because of U.S. shale oil and also the advent of electric vehicles. But we think that it's unlikely that U.S. shale industry will really expand much to take advantage of this because the profitability right now is quite marginal. You know, rig counts have come off and the first crop of oil services companies are starting to go bankrupt because they're just not making enough money. So I think that means, therefore, that oil prices are probably already perhaps a little low. And the fact that we have this new uncertainty in the Middle East means that I think we should have a risk premium in the price, and it probably, in our view, should be $5 to $10 higher than where it sits right now.
Meanwhile, the United Nations Climate Summit has kicked off in New York today, with some 87 MNCs representing a combined market cap of $2.3 trillion, pledging to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Now, do you see this as businesses really going green, or is this just lip service to satisfy ESG investors?
Well, you know, it's a good question. Obviously, I think that when we look across the whole economy, you know, most folks have good intentions in business. The thing, however, is that this transition to cleaner energy, it is complicated because energy assets are very capital intensive and it takes a long time to bring them on stream. And also we have issues to do with how we're going to stabilize the grid and so on. I think, personally, most of those problems have already been solved from an engineering point of view, but it's going to take a while to mobilize capital. And the important thing here is that energy is generally quite capital intensive, and I think that we have, on the policy side, a lack of clear vision about how to provide the incentive so the capital goes to work to solve the problem. So I think it's going to be with us for a while, but at least things are moving in the right direction.
Thank you very much, Kingsley. And that was Kingsley Jones, Chief Market Strategist with Jevons Global in Sydney. Now, as we were talking about, the UN General Assembly in New York kicks off this week with a special summit on climate change. And because the UN has projected that if emissions continue to rise at their current pace, by 2040, we could be facing inundated coastlines around the world, intensifying droughts, as well as food insecurity. So ahead of today's summit, millions of people around the world staged rallies to demand action on global warming last Friday, and organizers estimated that about 4 million people took part in the global climate strike.
Yeah, and we're not missing the fun, are we? In Malaysia, around 350 protesters rallied at Datang Merdeka as a result of this. I mean, we see a lot of interesting sort of support
and, yeah,
for the climate change. I mean, we've seen somewhere in Europe as well where they put a, you know, they're standing on ice and with a rope hanging on their neck and everything, just to show how serious this is. I mean, since 1850 till today, we've seen 1.1 degrees Celsius of temperature rising, and between the last few years, 0.2 degrees have gone up. So it just shows how quickly carbon emissions are filling up our space.
Yeah, the question is how to get MNCs onto the bandwagon. I mean, aside from us consumers doing our little bits, say, like, you know, rejecting the use of single-use plastic bags and straws. Now, the question is, how do you get multinational companies or just even Malaysian companies to join the bandwagon and say that, you know, yes, we should have policies internally which have less damage to the environment. And unfortunately, a lot of it is money, right? So if companies can be seen showing that, hey, if you take the environmental route and there is a benefit to your bottom line, I think there'll be more joining the bandwagon.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing. It needs to show these MNCs that there is actually some benefit in there for them in order for them to actually take the initiative to make this change. Because as Kingsley described, it's not an easy change to make. And at the end of the day, companies will be concerned about their bottom lines. So you need to show them, in fact, that investors are interested in seeing companies adopt these kinds of more sustainable practices in order to better preserve our environment. But also, just this morning in some international headlines, we have heard some news out of the very interesting
rock star
Adam Newman, who is currently CEO of WeWork. Specifically, that his days as a WeWork CEO could be numbered, because according to some news reports, SoftBank is expected to move to oust him.
Yeah, so we know Newman. We all know Newman as a person with charisma. That's what, you know, that's what every media has been saying about him. So, I guess the confidence over Newman's leadership has been waning, deteriorated after reports of the questionable behavior which came to light. For an example, while use of marijuana on the company's Gulfstream G650 jet, while with big parties and different weird behaviors. So opposition from SoftBank in particular marks a striking shift in the relationship. So SoftBank has been their largest investors WeWork to date, pumping nearly about $11 billion into the group.
I'm just shocked they have a private jet, aside from the fact that they use marijuana on the planes.
Yeah.
But I think the other issue, of course, has been the disclaimers, right, in the prospectus where they were
10 pages worth.
Just on Newman himself. Mm-hmm. I mean, one highlight was that he leases buildings to WeWorks, right?
Yes, indirectly. He does.
Not such good corporate governance there, I have to say. And why do you need a private jet when you're loss making? I don't understand this at all.
Don't know. Well, $11 billion is what he got from a 30-minute presentation to
SoftBank.
Yeah, to SoftBank.
Yeah. So, but perhaps some of the fact that he's been under the spotlight in the past couple of weeks over those disclosures and over the WeWork's rather dramatic IPO prospectus has made SoftBank reconsider their options. So who knows what's going to happen? And there has been some discussion that actually, if WeWork were to move Adam Newman out of the CEO position, then that would make it automatically a little bit more attractive to the market, a little bit, marginally.
No, it doesn't. Because at the end of the day, the financials just don't look right, right? There's a complete mismatch between their liabilities, which is long-term leases, versus how they derive their income, which is short-term.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't masquerade as... It's a landlord masquerading as a tech company at the end of the day.
Indeed. So who knows actually whether it will still go to market, because there is some concern over when that will actually happen, if it happens at all. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages. And then after that, more local stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.